guys, welcome back to Racing Through Life. This is a podcast hosted by Open Race, and Open Race is a real-time virtual running app looking to connect and motivate runners as well as help event organizers increase revenue, reach a larger audience, and provide a more interactive virtual race. We're now actually downloadable in the App Store. You guys are probably not going to hear this podcast for another few weeks, but today is November 30th, and we actually just had our first few events this past weekend and on Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving. And yeah, we're live. So if you haven't already downloaded it,
released like in the new year. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, this is probably like January. So they probably are using it.
So our app is a lot better.
It's probably better by now. Yeah, no. Right now, at the time that people are hearing this, probably sick.
Yeah.
But a lot better than when
So if you don't already have it downloaded,
you should download in the iOS App Store, Open Race app right now. Race your friends in real time. Get on.
Love it.
Race me if you want. Add me. Christian Camerata, add me.
Why are we doing Racing Through Life?
We are doing Racing Through Life to bring together the running community because no one in the space is doing this right now. So we reach out to different athletes, people in the running space, and today's guest, fantastic one, Tom Wake, extreme fitness trail runner enthusiast. He's a marathoner, a father based in the UK. He's got his own trail running program. It's going to be a great episode learning more about trail. The first trail running guest.
Yeah.
We've always had like these track athletes,
Olympians,
Olympians. First trail runner enthusiast. I'm excited.
Yes. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, sorry, I changed my name on here. It always defaults.
Oh, no worries. Got the whole fan there. I love it.
Hey.
Awesome. Hey. Thank you for joining. How's your day going?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Getting coming up towards the end of the day now.
Yeah, it's what, 9 o'clock there for you?
Yeah, 9 p.m.
Thanks for taking the call a little later. I forgot the time difference was like 6 hours.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So what are you, 3 p.m., are you?
Yeah, five hours, my bad. Yeah, so how's kind of life over, where about you calling from today?
So I'm in the UK, near Ipswich in Suffolk, which is on like the East Coast.
Cool, how's like life with COVID over there?
Yeah, strange really. So we're in one of the lockdowns at the moment. Limited to, not going to work. You can't have anyone in your house. You can exercise with one other person, so you can go for a run with someone, which is quite cool. Apart from that, it's just essential things only, really.
Are gyms open by chance there, or is it just you can like run with someone?
Outdoor exercise only until Wednesday, and then they're lifting the ban and gyms are opening again. So it's a strange old time. What about you guys?
We've been like we're based in Toronto, and like I guess our area, the GTA, it's been like a roller coaster since fall. We've been all over. Now we're in like a lockdown as if we were back in March. So like a lockdown where like we basically just everything's closed. Gyms have been closed for us for like
3 months.
Yeah, we barely had like the gyms have been. I don't even know what a gym looks like anymore. It's been so tough, and now it's getting a lot colder here. So running is becoming tougher to go in freezing cold running. But that's definitely been the hardest part for us. Is the no gyms is the worst part for us.
Yeah, no, sure. It's it makes a big difference to your life, doesn't it? When you fall out of routine as well.
I think it's also like mental. Like I think like just like I feel better about myself like when I work out in the morning. So it's a good way to start my day every morning. Go to the gym, work out, and then like you have the whole rest of your like you've accomplished something in the day, so you're gonna like have a good day. And so is that where about you grow up? Where'd you about you grow up from?
So I grew up in the UK in a place called Derbyshire, which is in the Midlands. Around there you've got a lot more hills and you've got like the whole Peak District area. So we weren't far out of that, but yeah, always sort of grown up in the countryside, and now we're a bit more coastal. So not many hills or mountains, but some great trails for running. So
that's great. Did you kind of get into like trail running and like hill running at an early age then?
I didn't at all. So I was more into mountain biking and just sort of being outside and just kind of going off and doing different activities and things like that. I only really got into running at a later age when kind of just after university, really. So I always sort of exercised and was into sport, but I didn't really get into the running properly until I decided I needed to get fit. And I was actually back in Derbyshire at the time, so it was a bit of a baptism of fire around there because of the hills. So I'd go out running and like literally be kind of going up and it's a nice downhill as well, but the hills up were hard, and I just launched into it really. So it's funny now because I look back at those times when I had kind of all these hills, all this scenery on my doorstep when I was younger, and I just didn't take advantage of it. And now I look back and I'm like, oh, I really wish I'd been running back then, because I could have gone on some awesome routes and, you know, seen some cool places. But I still was outside a lot, so it was good.
So you mountain, I just want to go back to the mountain bike. Is that, how is that? Like, I've always been curious, like, how was the mountain bike, like, is it pretty dangerous? Or like, how is that with the trails?
Yeah, it can be. We used to go out and kind of dig our own ramps and make through woods, because we were just surrounded by woodland. I've had my fair share of accidents kind of flying off. As long as you got a helmet on, you're generally okay.
Yeah.
we were younger back then. You just used to pick yourself up and dust yourself off, get back on it, and
I'm good.
Go off riding again. So no, it was great fun, and literally that's how we used to spend our weekends. Really
nice. Just
enjoying things like that, and just with a group of friends. So it was a cool way to kind of spend your childhood.
Any crazy stories from mountain biking or like injuries or something?
No, to be fair, I've always got away with it. Touch wood, never broken a bone. never been hospitalized or anything like that. I'm trying to think, like a couple of my friends, one of them knocked his front teeth out mountain bike. He had to get fake teeth at the front, which wasn't so cool, but he used to like freaking people out with that. Nothing majorly serious, which is probably a good thing. So it's just a lot of fun.
So when you got into trail running, you said it was after school?
Yeah. It's kind of later in life, and I got into road running to begin with. So joined a running club. Just started kind of going along doing races, shorter distances to begin with, sort of 5 miles, 10Ks. To be honest, my first race was a half marathon. It was one of those things where I entered it not really knowing what I was doing. Trained up to sort of 10 miles, had a knee injury, went along with it, did it anyway. It was the Great North Run, which is one of the big ones in the UK.
Yeah,
it was like 55,000 participants.
Wow. So
a lot of people. I was just kind of determined to do it. I raised some money for charity. And I got round in, my goal was sub 2 hours, and I got round in 1:59.
I was just about to say, you just got it. You got about like 50 seconds?
Yeah. 1:59.05 or something like that. It was pretty close. So yeah, that was the first one. And then after that, I got more into sort of road running and doing the 5 miles, 10Ks, and just sort of built up. And I only really got into trail running through a friend who was already into it, and took us out on the trails, showed us some new routes, and just introduced us to what you can do and all these places you can go. And, you know, you don't need to be avoiding cars and stopping at junctions. You can just keep going for miles and miles. And never look back, really. Trails became my preferred type of running.
Yeah. So what kind of got you hooked to trail running? Is it like the scenery and stuff, or like the different terrain or like?
Yeah, I think it's the terrain, it's the scenery, it's the fact that you can just go and, you can plot a route online and just go and follow it, and you can go anywhere, really. I love looking at maps online and just plotting footpaths and just seeing where I can go. I think it's the fact that you've got that freedom. You're not restricted to just pavements and, running on these routes that are predefined. You can create your own crazy route and, just explore. And you get to see a lot more beautiful scenery. You pass through all kinds of different places. I think that's what I love most about it.
So then I know you started a company, your trail runs company. What was the motivation behind that? So you get hooked onto trail running from your friend. What was kind of the big, push to starting your own company?
Yeah, so it kind of started as a little project just to see how it would go. And I often meet runners who don't have the confidence to go and plot their own routes or just go exploring. So I wanted to provide some guided runs and of different distances, just to introduce people to the trails, let them explore new places so they can kind of travel to wherever we put the run on, join us, we go out. I can give them, I also wanted to share my knowledge and things that I've learned over time as well. So just sharing tips on technique and plotting routes and nutrition and all the things that I wish I'd known when I was setting out that I've kind of learned over time. I just kind of set up this, to begin with, a project that's now kind of become a bit bigger. Put some things on Facebook, on Instagram, and just built momentum, and there's people love it. They come from all over and join up with us, and we just go and explore some cool places. Really, really good fun.
So now that everything, the lockdown stuff like that, everything's, I'm assuming, just virtual? It's virtual training, coaching, stuff like that?
Yeah, so it's been a bit mixed. I was able to put on a few events in the early summer where people came back, and we did a really good one in September with a running club came, and we did like a 20 odd mile run all on the trails, which is really good. But I've deliberately not put too much in over the last 2 months, because the problem is people end up booking up, and then you have to refund everyone, and you don't know what's going to happen. So I'm hoping when things, maybe over the next month or two
settle down,
there's a bit more, certainty, I can put them in and schedule them up. Because people miss it, and they enjoy that, getting out with other people, meeting new people, seeing different places. But again, we're kind of restricted with travel at the moment as well. So it's tricky. It's been really hard to sort of navigate. I'm hoping in the new year we'll be able to kind of get back to a bit more normality with it.
That makes sense. Just speaking in regards to the business, starting your own business from scratch, just personally wondering what's been your favorite part about running your own business, and then what's been, something you've least liked?
For me as well, it's a bit of a kind of side business, because it's hard work and it takes time to put everything on and get it together. I think for me, I was never sure if it was going to work at the start. And you don't know. And I remember putting on the first kind of guided group run, and wondering if anyone will actually turn up. Yeah, it's just so rewarding when you get people come along and they go away absolutely buzzing. Like, you know that you've actually helped these people, or you know, you've kind of made their weekend as well. If they come along, they love the trails, they have such a great time. And I've had people email me afterwards just saying how much they enjoyed it. Like, they can't stop talking about it, which is amazing. Yeah, I mean, it comes with its challenges as well. I think this year's definitely been a challenge for all those reasons. Like, I had to cancel a load of runs as well. Yeah, and there's challenges in kind of getting the word out there and, you know, maintaining the sort of momentum and the marketing side of it as well. It's quite a big job, but if it's something you believe in, then, you know, you go with it and you put the time and effort in. So yeah, it's been a learning curve, that's for sure.
Love it. When did you start that, or start getting into running your own business?
So a couple of years ago. So yeah, about 2 years ago.
And then
before that, that was kind of properly. Before that, I had a bit more of a sort of online presence, just with a website. People just used to email about kind of doing guided runs and things like that. But it was only about 2 years ago I decided to actually launch into it properly. And I kind of made it one of my goals for the year. I was like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to just go in and do it. Never look back, really. It's been rewarding.
That's awesome.
Nice. Just to stick on some of your accomplishments. In 2019, you completed the Bob Graham round. Give us kind of more details on the background behind that. How was that? Any challenges, stuff like that?
And what is the Bob Graham round?
I was going to say, I don't know if you've heard of it.
No idea. Got to be honest.
Okay, cool. So it's a challenge in the UK in the Lake District. Basically, the challenge is to run 42 of the peaks within 24 hours. Wow. So you cover a total elevation of around 27,000 feet.
Holy cow.
66 miles in total. And so that's the aim. There are five kind of road crossings. So you do it in different legs, and you can have a support crew at each leg. At the end of each leg, so you can get like nutrition, refreshing.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to have people with you at each summit as well. So you need to have pacers and support crew that run with you. And it was kind of a bit of a bucket list challenge for me. And I just decided to pick a date in 2019. I managed to get together the support crew for it. And I was like, this is happening.
That's crazy.
And I just went for it. Yeah. I mean, it's called the Bob Graham Round because the guy that originally did it, Bob Graham, he did it on his 42nd birthday. And that was the idea. It was like one peak for every year. So, going up the Lake District Fells. And then, was it 2018? Killian Jornet came and broke the record for doing the round. Yeah, he did it about 10 hours faster than I did, which doesn't surprise me.
Wait, did you sleep? Sorry, I'm just curious. You don't sleep, right? Or
no, you just keep going. You've got enough time in the bank and you want to sleep. I had like no time left. So I did it in 23 hours, 9 minutes, I think, or 8 minutes.
How did you know were going to be able to do that?
Yeah.
Like, did you know you could? No, have you trained for that at all? Or?
So I'd been training. A lot of my training that year had been sort of fitness, marathon fitness, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hard to get the hill work in around here because it is quite flat.
Yeah.
But I'd been up to the lakes and I'd run a couple of legs of it already. So I knew parts of it. I was feeling fairly confident. I'd been up to the lakes a few weeks before and done a fair bit of hill running. Yeah, and I just decided to go for it. And it paid off. But I had like 12 hours. We started off with a really nice sunrise, perfect conditions, no wind. It was cool. So it was, you know, it's t-shirt and shorts weather, so it wasn't nice. It wasn't too cool, it was just nice. And then after about 12 hours, the fog came in, the rain came in, the wind came in, and I had literally 12 hours of just torrential conditions. And one of the trickiest parts of the course as well. And I was just losing time. There was no guarantee that I'd do it. I think I probably lost a good 2 to 3 hours over that period of time.
Did you stop or kind of just like slowed you down because of the conditions?
Yeah, it slowed us down. We couldn't find the summit. So you have to go to the summit of each fell that are part of the 42. And we couldn't physically find them. So I was spending time finding them in the fog. Then when we got down to a road crossing, I did like a full outfit change because I was freezing cold. Soaking wet. Total change, then back out there again. So it's just things like that, that the time just adds up. And I was trying not to worry too much about it until I got near the end. And then I was like, right, I just need to head down, go for it. And paid off in the end.
Another follow-up question. I'm still shocked by the fact that you didn't sleep for 23 hours. So at what point did you train of not sleep? Like, how did your body feel? Like, I'm just curious how you didn't just pass out.
It's not one of those things that you can train for. I've done a couple of hundred milers in the Lake District as well, and they've taken me over 24 hours.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it's really not something you can train for, but as long as you keep, you know, the nutrition going, it's so important, and you never feel like eating, but this is why you need a really good support crew with you, because they'll force you to eat. As long as you can keep hydrated, keep the nutrition going, somehow you keep your energy up. It's more of a mental challenge.
I was just about to say, how mental is this whole, like, by like the 15th hour, like, you're like, okay, like, I'm I guess 8 hours out, like, you just gotta stay awake.
Oh, it's huge. Like, during one of the 100-mile races, I remember getting to like, because it started at 6 p.m. So you've been up most of the day anyway.
Yeah.
And start at 6 p.m. and then by sort of 5 a.m., I'm getting towards
11 hours,
50 mile point or around there. And I remember running and literally my eyes were closing and I felt like I could sleep as I was running.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think it would have gone well.
No,
no. But if you're like getting rest while simultaneously running, like, that's pretty cool. Somehow, I don't know.
I don't think that's possible.
Probably could make that work. That would be cool. and then I just felt like I was gonna just fall asleep, and I had this like caffeine energy shot. Just neck it. Trying to get sleep in to wake me up and get the body going again and carry on. But it's a strange feeling. Sometimes I think the adrenaline can carry you through.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm quite lucky and I've not had to kind of go too far over 24 hours, but I know people who have been out there for like 40 hours.
40 straight hours?
Sorry?
Like 40 straight hours, they didn't stop?
Yeah, well, they'd have stopped for periods of time, but yeah, they've been kind of going for that amount of time. And
wow.
Yeah. So when you finish these races, like, how long was the next, when you get home, I'm assuming you celebrate, wash up, you get home, go to bed. How long is the sleep? Like 25 hours? Like, then I'm just still curious about the rest here.
No, I don't sleep well at the best of times. And, I always find after those events, like, you're so like wired from it.
Yeah.
The night's sleep after is terrible. I always wake up early. I mean, my legs feel awful, but you just kind of catch up gradually on the sleep, I think. But I never get a real good night's sleep.
Ever, or just like after those runs?
Pretty much ever. Okay. No, I'm just like, I'm not someone who needs a lot of sleep.
Okay.
I probably should get more. I can get by on kind of six hours a night.
Well, that's perfect. I wish like I could.
If I could function with five, that'd be great. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
So what kind of motivates you to like do these like long, strenuous challenges?
Yeah.
I just like pushing myself. Right. There's something about that feeling of knowing that you've pushed yourself as hard as you possibly can, and you've achieved something that you possibly felt was out of reach. And that's kind of what keeps me going. I don't know if you guys get this when you go for a run or something and do like a really hard session, but that feeling of total exhaustion where you know you've put everything into it and you're just like, actually, yeah, that's a really good feeling. It's like, I feel knackered and, but yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, I agree. I think like, anytime you get like success or like that feeling of accomplishment like overrides like the hard work that you kind of have to put in to get there. So like it could be like extremely hard work for like 5-6 hours, or in your case 24 hours. But like that feeling of accomplishment after is like, wow, I did it kind of thing. So I totally understand where you're coming from. I kind of want to move on to that 100 miler that you were talking about. When was that? Was that post the Bob Graham round?
Yes. Or before? So that was, so basically I've done, it's the same one twice in the latest.
Okay.
The Lakeland 100. I did it in 2018 and then, 2019. So just after the Bob Graham, I did it in just over 24 and a half hours, which was like a 2 hour improvement on the year before.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to do it this year, but then because race plans have been all over the place, I've actually entered it for next year. So I'll be back again to see if I can improve. But I ended up finishing in 2019 in the 11th, so just outside the top 10.
Oh, so wow.
If I can somehow improve on that and improve the time, I'll be happy for 2021. If it all goes ahead, I hope it does.
Yeah, I think for everyone's sake, I think everyone wants COVID to die down and kind of everyone like things get back to normal like slowly. Even if there's like some rules that can let events like still go on, just maybe some sort of like waves or heats that letting runners can run, that might be a good alternative. Just let people go in smaller groups. But I'm not an event organizer. I'm not the government, but I think that would be like a good alternative. So this is all, you're doing all this, like you're running, you got a family, the business, but you're also you work for a full-time marketing agency. Why marketing? Kind of tell us about that. How you got into that?
Yeah. I was always interested in the internet and websites, and kind of got into the web development, web design side of things years ago. And just kind of navigated and ended up in the marketing world. So I've been working in marketing agencies for a few years now. And it's good. It's a challenging area to be in. You know, things are constantly changing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a fast-paced working environment, that's for sure. But yeah, that's the full-time job as well, which, you know, it's kind of been good to tap into that knowledge, especially with the trail run side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of setting up, you know, my website and promoting that. But the marketing is the day-to-day like day job as well.
How did you balance? How do you find that balance from, I guess, now you just got a one year born. Congrats on the year born, George. But how do you find, I guess, now that's probably a lot of time in itself, losing sleep there, but the balance from, you know, trail running, because it is extreme like running and multiple days a week training. So how do you find, I guess, that balance? What's the toughest part there with that?
Yeah, it's finding the time to do everything. And it helps that my wife is very supportive as mm-hmm. well. She's into her running and, you know, she enjoys coming along and supporting my races and challenges that I do. You know, and I do the same for her when she's running. But I, training wise, I try and get up at like 4:30, 5 a.m.
Wow.
Try and get my training done before 7 a.m. So it gives me like a couple of hour window whilst, you know, they're asleep. I can get everything done and then, you know, before I have to get ready for work and go to work. And I try and do that because I find the evenings don't work really. I'm just struggling for time in the evenings. There's so many other things to be doing. So if I can do that and then fit in some long runs at the weekend, you know, I've had a pretty good training week. And it's been going pretty well. But it's tough to fit everything in and just find that time. But you have to make the time. It's all down to prioritization,
right? Seriously. Exactly, so, yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, and it's important to have the family time as well. So, yeah, kind of evenings are family time, mornings are training, while everyone else sleeps. And yeah, just find that's the way to balance it, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of your wife, you met her in Turkey. how did that kind of interaction go about, and why were you in Turkey?
Yeah, we were working together out there. So not as random as it seems, but that's another kind of side of the sporting life. So I'm a qualified windsurf instructor as well.
Okay.
I don't do much of it anymore, or hardly any of it. But yeah, so I was teaching windsurfing and she was teaching sailing. Yeah, and we were working for the same company out there. And so we'd go out and work in different locations like Greece and Turkey for 6 months at a time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we met out there, and then kind of she got me into running, really. She got a place in the London Marathon and was training for that. And I was not really a runner at the time. And I was like, I don't know how the hell you're going to run 26.2 miles. But so that kind of got me. I was kind of like, right, if she's going to do it, I'm going to get into this as well. So that was a bit of a catalyst. And she's done like loads of marathons, ultra marathons as well. So we both love it, which is handy.
Yeah.
She didn't.
Of course, yeah. How'd you get into windsurfing?
Yeah.
And like teaching it too. Like, you gotta be one thing to do it, and then another thing you have to like know it so much you can teach it as well.
I know. I got into it on holiday and just really enjoyed it. Again, I think it's kind of like the trail running. It's that sort of freedom of, you know, you're out on the sea and you can do whatever you want, right? You're not restricted, and it was just great fun. It was exhilarating. And I used to see the guys teaching it out there, and they looked like they're having a great life on the beach. And I was like, I fancy doing some of that as well. So, I just got kind of good enough to go and do my, I progressed through the levels, went and did my instructor's qualification, and then managed to land a job. And spent a good few years just doing seasons abroad during the summer and, working on the beach, going windsurfing during the day, drinking beers in the evening.
That's the life.
Yeah. And now I don't really windsurf at all, but maybe one day I'll get back into it.
So you grew up like doing a lot, from the mountain biking, windsurfing, trail running. Was there anything else? What didn't you do growing up?
I don't know. I did quite a lot. We were always pretty active and outdoor. And, you know, I've never been into you know, computer games or PlayStation or anything like that. It just doesn't appeal to me. I'd much rather be out and about. So yeah, it was all of those sort of things. I've snowboard as well, and played golf once upon a time. I don't really do that anymore. It's a bit too slow pace for me these days.
Yeah, windsurfer, mountain biking,
and then golf. You're getting drunk on the course. You're not even playing golf. You're just there for the beers.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's about it, really. But that, you know, that was a good part, you know, and of course things like playing football and soccer, as you might say. those sort of things. Just keeping active, really.
Different generation nowadays. You see the esports, like electronic gaming, is just flying at a pace that's like, it's like it might become more popular than
actual sports.
Like I think like in like 10 years from now, kids are gonna want to watch other people playing video games rather than watching a football game. It's like, it's crazy what, you know, like what video games has happened, like has done to the world.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, I don't know, it's kind of passed me by, but
seriously,
I was just never interested, you know, not in the consoles and things like that.
Yeah. You were interested in other tech, DJ tech.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hear a little bit about that time. I'm a big like EDM fan. Same. I've been to a bunch of festivals. We both have. What kind of DJing did you do?
Yes. So I got really into it during my sort of teens. I started off into sort of trance music, and I used to go with my mates record shopping on a Saturday, buy some vinyl, come back and we'd just spin it on our decks. And I really got into it. And then I got chatting to people and started playing at clubs and bars for quite a period of time. And I was playing some quite big gigs for a while. And then I got more into sort of the bar music and sort of house music, and I don't know if you're familiar with the names like Zane Lowe and Judge Jules, a couple of the British DJs.
Are they British DJs? Like that's kind of,
yeah, they are, yeah. And like Zane Lowe's on Apple Music. He did like the Beats One radio station on that. He moved over to America, but they were like big DJs, and yeah, I got to play alongside them and do some club nights, sort of warming up for them, which was quite cool.
Any stories from what are the craziest DJ stories? It could be interaction or just a time on set. What was the craziest thing you've like seen or happened, if you can say, on the podcast?
I don't know. You put me on the spot a bit. It's all kind. I can't think of anything crazy, like massively crazy.
That's fine. That's okay. I was just seeing an interesting story. I've never talked to a DJ, so I'm just curious. Yeah. Like DJ's mind.
Nah, there's. I don't know. Every night was a fun night, right?
Yeah.
It was good. You used to get paid. You used to get drinks all night, and it was kind of the end of the DJ days that I thought I need to get my running trainers on and actually get fit, because I'd be out, you know, I'd be getting in at like 7 a.m.
and people
going to work, and I was, you know, I've been out all night DJing and having a party.
7 a.m. What time were you? The bars, clubs closed.
Like some of them are open till like 4 or 5. It used to be open till 4 or 5 a.m.
It's a lot different here. It's so Europe, much. Europe is just
Europe's awesome.
Different beast. The year we close at like 1:32.
Oh really? Yeah.
It's weird.
They used to be open late. I couldn't tell you these days. Like I don't go out enough to even know about what time they close now. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I met a lot of good people and, you know, friends that I still have now through the DJing days. But yeah, it's just super, super cool nights. Just everyone partying.
Yeah.
Enjoying it. It was good.
Yeah. Cool. Wow. Well, you've done a lot over your life. Crazy, like DJing, snowboarding, trail running. windsurfing. What are your kind of goals for like 2021 onwards?
Yeah, so, well, I guess most things now are sort of running related. Goal-wise. So I obviously want to keep the trail runs business going, get more people out on the trails and kind of make that bigger. So we'll see how the next few months pan out. In terms of running, I've had to sort of refocus a little bit because my big goal for this year was the CCC race, which is part of the UTMB series of events in the Alps in Chamonix. And that obviously got postponed, and you can defer to 21, 22 or 23. But now I've got the Lakeland 100 again in July, and I think it'll be too close in August to do both of them. So I think the 100 is going to become my big focus this year. And then we'll see about doing the CCC maybe the year after. But I'm still thinking about that. So yeah, that's the biggest goal. And then I'm not really sure what next. I keep thinking about this because it'd either be something longer or multi-day or some sort of big, I don't know, maybe an FKT challenge or something like that.
What about like an obstacle course or something like that? I know they have those like massive like, or like even like an Ironman or something.
Yeah, well, see, triathlon does appeal. I think it'd have to be Ironman for the distance because I only seem to want to do big distances.
Yeah,
I'd have to get better at swimming, or I'd have to actually start swimming properly. I get out on the bike occasionally, very occasionally. The running, I don't think would be an issue, but that'd be quite cool to do. I think just to see what else I can do, rather than just the running, and then next year as well. The London Marathon, I've got a place in that in October.
Nice.
I was training really hard for April just gone, and the goal was sub 2:40. If I can do that in October, I don't know, that might be a goal. We'll see. We'll kind of see how my fitness is over the summer.
Good luck. Do you have to get like invited to the London Marathon?
So there's a few ways of getting in. So there's the general ballot, which is always oversubscribed. And I failed for like 7 years straight in that. I just couldn't get in.
Wow.
Good for age is sub 3 hours. So if you can run sub 3, you stand a chance of getting a good for age spot.
Okay. But
not guaranteed. And then championship was sub 2:45, which is what I've got now, but they've lowered that to 2:40. So now to get in, so hopefully I'd get in again under good for age. I've run it a few times with sort of a half guaranteed place, but yeah, it's hard work.
Yeah, I bet. That'd be, I'm nowhere close to a marathon now.
Yep, nowhere close.
Speed yet or distance. Any advice to people that want to try to get to longer distances?
Or even trail running for like runners, that, because I feel like trail running, so you need that. You don't just hop and like, you don't wake up like young kids going on a trail running. For anyone that wants to, I guess, try something new for
spice advanced up runners, their run.
Yeah, like change up their running and going into trail running. Any advice for them?
Yeah, I think, I guess if you want to get into trail running, or, you know, just try out some different terrain or, you know, anything like that. I think the main thing is to just not worry too much about it. There's a big difference between trail running and road running
in
terms of expectation. So I find a lot of people who train on the road or are training for like shorter distances maybe, they're often concerned about pace and the speed that they're running at and looking at their watch. on the trails, you just can't worry about things like that because the terrain is totally different. There might be more hills, there might be, you know, gates, stiles, things that you have to cross. There might be, you know, a few obstacles. And it, you can't get hung up on looking at your watch and looking at the split you're running. Yeah. I think the first thing to do is just to take away any expectation about what sort of speed you're going to be running at. Just enjoy it and make the most of being able to kind of go on route planners online and just kind of see what's around you. And don't be afraid to, you know, go down a footpath. As long as you know where you are and you're not miles away and totally off course, you know, if it comes to it, you can always backtrack and, you know, go back. But yeah, it's just don't get worried about what you're doing. Just enjoy it. Enjoy being out there and seeing some new places. And I think in terms of, I know you said briefly about sort of progressing through, you know, the distance, and it's just to not get carried away and do too much too soon. These things take a while, and I think it's easy to kind of want to go and go all out and do loads of stuff, and you do end up getting injured, or if you're not taking enough rest days, you know, you can become exhausted. So it's just you just got to listen to your body and build up gradually, and you will get there if you're focused enough on the end goal. You know, you can achieve whatever you put your mind to. I strongly believe that.
Yeah, same here. That's a phenomenal advice. I think I might get into like trail running a bit because I like obstacle courses. I've done like the Spartan race and like I like the different terrain, and I think it like keeps your mind, it gets your mind off of like the actual running part because you're focused on like getting over like branches or stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're not focused on like being tired.
Or just like, cause you're just
running straight, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really cool. I suggest anyone that doesn't kind of like just running to try a different form of it. But yeah, thank you for the advice.
No, that's cool. I was going to say the obstacle races are good. I'm just too weak these days. I need to get back in the gym.
In the gym, yeah, same here.
They're good fun. I can see why you like them.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So that was a phenomenal podcast. We're kind of coming to the end here. We have a speed round that we do with all of our participants. We have a few questions. You kind of list off what your first answer off the top of your head. And yeah, we'll just go back and forth.
And the last one's like a little more, you can like take time because this is supposed to be like a speed round. But the last one's more like sentimental.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So first one, who's your favorite DJ?
Good question. I can't think after all that mind blank. I still really like Judge Jules. He's good.
Okay.
He's done some great living room lockdown sessions on Facebook, which is quite cool.
Nice. Yeah, I like those. I don't know if you know who Loud Luxury is, but they're Canadian, right?
Canadian
duo, and they've done a few of those like quarantine YouTube. Yeah. All right. Second question: what's your favorite sport other than trail running?
Cycling.
Nice.
Favorite food?
Pizza.
Okay. Follow up. What toppings on the pizza?
Oh, like everything.
Okay.
Pepperoni, cheese, mushrooms, you know.
Love it.
Peppers. Yeah.
Love that.
And with a bit of spice as well.
Okay.
Cool. I like that.
Favorite type of terrain?
Mountains.
Nice.
Favorite country visited?
Thailand, I think.
Why? I'm just another
Just because it's so different. I've been to America, I've been to Canada, been to all kinds of different places in Europe, but it's just the culture and everything about it is just really different. And I really enjoyed my time there. It's quite cool.
Where in Canada did you go?
We did like the Rockies and then
Nice.
Through like Banff, Jasper, down to Vancouver, yeah, just did like a big tour for a couple of weeks, which was really cool.
Nice.
How'd you like Banff? Like, we haven't even been out there.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It's awesome. Like, the terrain is stunning. You want to go running around there.
Yeah.
I did some really good running. But we were, when we were there, there was a lot of wildfires.
So
a lot of smoke. And I don't think we saw it at its best, unfortunately. There were a lot of days you just couldn't see a lot. It was just foggy all the time. Mm. So, yeah, a bit of a shame, but it was nice.
Hmm.
Nice.
All right. Next question. Favorite movie?
I always say this. Kevin and Perry Go Large, which you will probably never have heard of.
No.
This is also one of the reasons why I like Judge Jules, because he did the soundtrack. But it's basically a stupid comedy movie, very British, where two teenagers go and become DJs in Ibiza. And it's just a silly movie. And I just quite like it.
I kind of want to watch that now.
I'm curious now. I want to watch it.
Yeah, it's quite cool. It's old now, but I find it funny.
Have you been to Ibiza?
No, never. Which is, I always wanted to, and then all the summers when I would have probably gone, I ended up doing the windsurfing. So yeah. I like never made it over there, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cats or dogs?
I have a cat, so I should probably say cats, but I would quite like a dog to go running with.
Oh, okay. Sweet or salty?
Oh, salty.
Okay. If you had to travel to one place before you die, where would it be?
That's a good question.
Ibiza.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, there's so many places I would like to go. I'd love to summit Everest. I think that'd be quite
nice.
Cool. It's like the Himalayas. I think that'd be good.
Is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I've heard you stop breathing up there.
Oh, you have to take oxygen. Like you can pay to go and do it in like these group treks and things like that. Or if you're crazy, you can go and do it on your own. But I'm not skilled enough to do that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But you have to scale it at any point, or is there always a path to kind of take?
Yeah, there's a bit of a mix, really. It depends on the weather. There's some cool documentaries about it, if you have a look.
I've seen some. Yeah. That'd be crazy. Anyway, last question that you could take a little bit more time on. If you could have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow.
Deep question here.
God, that is hard. I'm trying to think who... I guess there's a lot. For me, it would be someone in the ultra world, I think, at the moment, I could just kind of talk all things running and get some inspiration and ideas from. I do think, who would it be, though? I got a few ideas. I think it'd be cool to do you know Killian Jornet?
No.
He's one of the Salomon athletes.
Okay.
Mountain runner. Incredible mountain athlete, all rounder, climber, skier, just lives in the mountains. It'd be quite cool to sit down with him and just talk all things.
Brain a bit.
Yeah, massively. His accomplishments are just huge. He's won every trail race going.
Wow.
Hard Rock. All the American ones, or the UKP, or the European ones. He's really good. He's been up Everest twice with no oxygen.
What?
Yeah.
No oxygen.
Yeah, go and look him up. He's an inspirational athlete. So
okay, I will definitely look him up.
It'd be cool to sit down with him and just find out, what. I don't know, just get some inspiration, get some ideas, see how how he trains. Yeah, I find people like that just, I watch their videos on YouTube and it just inspires me and makes me want to do more and more. It's
crazy. Yeah, that is crazy. I'm going to look him up after.
I'm curious too, how he down as possible.
What's that, sorry?
I'm curious how to see how that's possible. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, yeah. Go and have a look. Yeah, mad. I watched it again the other day, the documentary about the Everest one, just because it came up on my app. And yeah, just incredible athlete. Well worth having a look.
For sure. Awesome. Well, yeah, that's kind of the end of the speed round, which means we're coming to the end of the podcast. Do you have anything you want to shout out? We got Tom Wake on Instagram, tom.run.
That's your personal site. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean that's where you can find me, at Tom Wake on Instagram mainly. Yeah, and tom.run is like my personal site.
And then trailruns.co.uk is your business site.
Yeah, so that's more for the guided running. Nice. And then through my site, there's a bit more about coaching and things like that. Cool. As well.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, follow him there. This was a great podcast. Really looking forward to you running that the 100 miler again next year.
Yeah, cheers.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming on and good luck for all your future adventures.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks very much for having me. It's
been
awesome to chat all about it.
Yes, for sure. Awesome. Well, have a great night and we'll definitely stay in touch.
All right. Brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Have a good one.
Cheers, Tom.
Bye.
Bye.